In three words, the best stories.
What are some of the best things going on right now?
The best stories are authentic.
They are relevant.
Thought-provoking.
I think emotional is probably the first one for me.
The best stories are shareable.
I think emotional.
They're unique.
I would say relevant. Inspiring. Real.
Colorful.
And they're emotional.
Those are some of the best stories.
Welcome to Storyteller, a monthly live stream that is produced by Tagboard, but more importantly, is powered by all of you. We have an amazing storyteller joining us today who we will get to in just a minute. But first, a quick intro. My name is Sky Muller, executive producer of this show. So be sure to tweet at SkySPX all of your complaints. I assure you, they will be heard.
And I'm Christine Chalk, SVP of Creative Services at Tagboard. Please do tweet your complaints to Sky. If you have compliments, nice things to say, people you want to see join us on Storyteller, you can send those my way. I'm at Seaborms. The goal of today is to educate, to entertain, and hopefully engage with all of you. And that final part is where we need your help. So grab your phone and keep it nearby. Tweet us using hashtag Storyteller. Tell us where you're watching from. Give us your favorite moments. Keep that phone handy because we do have everyone's favorite Tagboard trivia coming up later in today's show.
And speaking of trivia, who is one of only a handful of storytellers to have boots on the ground at the 2020 NBA playoff bubble, NBA All-Star Weekend, and most recently, the NCAA March Madness Tournament? None other than Morgan Mitchell.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Morgan.
Hey, Morgan. We're so excited to have you here. In fact, we've heard your work over the last year has actually earned you a new nickname inside Turner. We hear you're now known as Bubbles. You've been bringing the sights, the sounds, the stories to our timelines and really helping paint the picture of what life is like inside the bubble. And we're psyched to have you here on Storyteller.
Glad I could be here with my unique perspective for covering sports this year.
Unique it was. You did such a great job covering it too in all those different bubbles. As we jump into this, we're actually going to start with a question that here on Storyteller, we used to end the show with, but we thought let's move it to the start of the pack. So that question is, in your opinion, Morgan, the best stories are blank, blank, and blank.
I would say the best stories are honest, engaging, and I think coming from a place of love are like my top pillars that I try to base my storytelling around.
I love I feel the last one. I feel like it's become so important in the last year, and oftentimes the stories I'm personally drawn to are the ones that do come from a place of love. You know, we're all looking for a little more joy, and especially in these last 12 months. Talk to us a little bit about your time at Turner Sports. I'm sure those pillars, honest, engaging, and love, have taken a front and center spot for you over your time at Turner.
Working in sports, I'm really fortunate that there's a lot of wonderful stories because they're about real people who are doing things on and off the court. So I like telling the stories that connect people, that bring people together. I think that music and sports are kind of the last two things where it doesn't matter where you're from, your background, ethnicity, whatever, you can find common ground with somebody because you both are engaged in this sporting event or this team or both like this player. So I think it's just a beautiful space for people to find commonalities.
And Morgan, on your journey to where you are today in your current role, what were some moments along the way that really helped mold the person we're talking to right now?
Growing up, I was an athlete, so working in team settings has always been really good for me. I played basketball, I played volleyball, I ran track. So those were just great ways to help you become more disciplined, understand respecting people's time, understanding kind of what goes into building a great athlete, because not all of us can go pro. And then I would say my internships that I did were really helpful because they were very humbling. I see now that I think social media has changed things where people think that, oh, okay, I'm fresh out of college, so I should be making this amount of money, I should have this position or whatever. I didn't have that journey. I didn't really know what I fully wanted to do, and social media wasn't a career at that time, right? It was just assisting in some marketing type of stuff. So I think my internships really taught me how to work hard, and that you have to really just be great at your role so then you can shine and then be able to contribute larger to a team.
Isn't it crazy to think back? 10 years ago, social media was just something that people did on the side. Oh, by the way, while you do your current job, if you could send out a few tweets or do a few posts. Now, entire careers revolve around it, and those careers are hard. Social media careers are demanding. Talk us through a little bit about your current role today and what you're doing at Turner.
So I've switched around a little bit within the Turner family, which I appreciate. Like, I like being at a company where you can kind of change roles and still be useful and still be there. You don't have to leave if you want to pursue different things. So now I'm a social producer working more so with the Bleacher Report side. And we're just creating content. We're giving people informative things, countdowns, things that are just fun and engaging, just ways to kind of help connect people to the sports that they love.
That's awesome. And look, we called it off the top. You've been in three different bubbles. So let's start with the most recent, the NCAA bubble for March Madness. It was in Indy. It wrapped up just a few weeks ago. You had such a unique perspective going inside where most of us couldn't go. So take us inside the bubble. Give us a little lay of the land. What was the atmosphere like, the overall experience? Paint a picture.
The first weekend was a lot, just because there's so many teams. There's so much time that you're in the gym. So much prep work kind of goes into that buildup of, like, even from first four, right? From first four through that whole weekend, it's just a lot. So I would say it gave me summer league vibes, to where you're in the gym all day covering a bunch of games, kind of not even sure what you witnessed by the end of the day. But as you get further into the process, it does become easier because there's less games to worry about and things of that nature. So it was interesting to be in a bubble in a city that was still, like, moving and shaking, because they did have fans there, obviously not full arenas, but fans were still able to go to games. So it was really nice to have that energy again, just to have people being able to cheer for their teams. The players seemed to really like it because a lot of them hadn't gotten to experience that this season as well, with COVID and everything. So it was a little bit more isolating, I think, than some of the other bubbles, because you had to be more cautious of where you went and things like that, because the city was still open, and our hotel was still kind of open to the public too. They just kind of reserved different floors for us. So it was different. It was a little bit harder because they only play on the weekend. So, like, during the week it was, okay, well, how do I fill my days?
There's so much emotion that is involved with the NCAA March Madness tournament. Buzzer beaters, Cinderella stories, one seed's going down, and, you know, 1 year specifically. What's the key to capturing that emotion and taking it to the timeline?
I think just understanding the flow of basketball is really important, and being able to feel the energy in the space where you're occupying, right? Like, you can tell when one basket is extremely significant, even if it doesn't feel that way in the course of the game. Like, it's like, oh, I have this one turnover that I need to capture because it's this one bucket that then started this, like, 8-point run because it gave this team the confidence they needed. You know what I mean? So I would say, first, you should try to get everything if possible. Like, obviously, that's a little much, but focusing on, like, the last 2 minutes of a quarter or a half or whatever you're covering. Just understanding kind of what teams do well or don't do well. So if you have a team that's a great three-point shooting team, as soon as you see them make, like, two threes, it's like, all right, they're feeling it, so let me start getting my stuff together so I can create whatever I need to show that this is how they really were able to win this game.
Are there any types of social content that perform best, where you captured it on your phone and the second you had it, you just knew this is going to go off on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, or TikTok?
Yeah, I think the big thing for this, since it's the big dance, where the dancing videos performed really well, I think people just missed seeing the joy of March Madness because, like, to your point, Sky, it is such an emotional tournament that I think people miss those moments. So anytime that you got, like, a behind-the-scenes thing of, like, parents just like being able to like blow kisses or send love, or like the players actually dancing, or the crowd interacting with the players to the best of their ability, like cheering them on and stuff. Like, those were the moments that performed best on social, because the highlights are the highlights, right? Like, everyone has access to them, but that doesn't give you a feeling for what the energy was within the arena.
They don't call it the big dance for nothing, huh? I gotta ask, how many phones are you running around with when you're in the arena?
I do two. So one mainly for like the bulk of my capturing, and then the other one is kind of more communication, but like backup. So you just kind of have to have a plan going in there of like, hey, we want to get stuff. If you're trying to get stuff for IG stories, then of course you're going to shoot in vertical. So then my other phone, like if I think it's a moment that might also translate to a different platform that it performs better horizontally, then I'll just kind of record with both simultaneously.
When you're talking about what performs well in specific platforms, give us a little more into that. You mentioned vertical versus horizontal. Is there anything else that you're looking for that's like, oh, this is for sure a TikTok, or this is an IG story type thing?
Yeah, you just want to go with what that platform is kind of giving you, right? So as we've seen with TikTok, it needs to be shorter content. It doesn't need to be super produced. People like the realness. It's like what Vine used to be, right? Like those quick videos, they're gritty, they're funny, they're whatever, but it doesn't need to be like super beautiful. For Instagram stories, it's kind of the same thing. It's just quick stuff to make people feel like a part of the atmosphere. And then the stuff that lives on your feeds, I say, well, Twitter being chronological really helps, because you know, like if you capture a moment and you get it up within like 5 minutes, that's the conversation. So we're going to do that, right? But with Instagram and Facebook, because it's not necessarily chronological, you want it to be there when people are talking about it, but it's going to pick up steam throughout the course of the time that it's on the platform, versus needing to be like first with Twitter.
Yeah, it's definitely leaning into the strengths of the respective 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or all the platforms nowadays. Everyone watching with us live, we have more bubble chatter still to come. We're going to pop over into the NBA Finals bubble here in just a minute. But first, pull out your phone, get ready to scan the QR code coming up next on your screen. We have a little Tagboard Trivia Bubble Edition starting right now.
You just heard us call out Tagboard Trivia during the Storyteller live experience. If you're listening on the podcast, no need to worry. You can play along as well. We dropped a link in the show notes, or go to tagboard.com/storyteller. Scroll down a little and you'll see the trivia.
All right. Welcome back, Storytellers. Morgan, let's rewind. A few months prior, going back to your first bubble experience, it was the NBA playoff bubble in Orlando. Hit us with your favorite story from your time in that bubble.
I don't know if I have one specific story that was like amazing. I think just being that close up and that personal to the games was probably like my favorite thing. Obviously, you miss the crowd, you miss that whole atmosphere, but there was something, it felt like you were going to these really intense pickup games where you could like hear what the players were saying and you could see everything that was happening because you're that close. Like normally I don't sit that close for these games unless I'm like working them or something. So you kind of got to be, I think for the people working the games, we got to be a little bit more fans because of the space that we were in, right? It's like, I don't have to have a different persona walking around the arena, making sure like I'm like presenting or whatever. It's like you see these players literally walking around campus, like going on bike rides or fishing. So I say like the fun stuff that I saw was just people kind of being themselves and not having to have that like barrier of like, make sure you don't talk to them then, talk to them now. Like you walk past Anthony Davis, you say hello, right? Like you walk past Jimmy Butler, he has his coffee. You're like, oh, got a cup for me today? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can have those little interactions without it feeling like it was inappropriate or it was like crossing boundaries or anything like that.
You brought up fishing, so we'll go right there. We're going to take a quick ride on the timeline time machine, August 3rd, 2020. It's a picture of you catching a fish in the NBA bubble. Lots of stories came out about players catching fish. Tell us your fish story.
So we had two options of fishing for the media people. So either you could fish like in the, we had this little like man-made kind of pond thing in the middle of the resort, or you could sign up to go actually get on a boat to go fishing for like a couple hours on like a Sunday morning. So I would say like the boat was definitely my most fun. It's just like I had the aux cord. We were doing like good old school vibes, just hanging out, just catching fish. The weather was beautiful. But I'm pretty sure that for the pond in the middle where we were at our resort, it had to be stocked because everyone was catching fish. Like there wasn't a day where someone was like, oh, I didn't catch anything. Like that never happened. So I think they were trying to help the players out to feel like they're being successful. So I don't know if they were great fishermen or not.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. It's like a carnival. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a prize. Everybody gets a fish. Morgan, from a work standpoint, from a content production standpoint, what did it look like in the bubble? Because you live there. You know, you said you walk by players having their morning coffee with their families. How did that change your work-life balance when you're literally working and living in the same bubble?
It was challenging just to feel like, you know, like when you go to work and stuff, you're like together, like this is my work me. And then you go home and you're like,
oh yeah.
So like the lack of kind of relaxing because you kind of are only around work people, I'd say like that was kind of hard for me. But I think what was good is that everybody was respectful of each other's balance, right? So like if a guy wasn't at practice or in like a gym setting, you weren't trying to like capture them, right? Like you weren't trying to be sneaky and like watch somebody on the walk with their families and stuff like that. Like that's not cool because that's not, we have to all live here together. So it can't be that way. So I think understanding that you just had to be respectful because we were all kind of going through it together and that different people were responding to the environment differently was just really nice. And I think, or I hope that that's something that carries outside the bubble too, when it comes to how do we cover players, what things are off limits, what things are we allowed to kind of touch on and not feeling so intrusive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the NCAA bubble, it was the dance videos, that joy, that energy, that hype that you said performed best. So in the NBA bubble, what was the type of content that your audience really, really gravitated towards?
Honestly, just them being normal people, like day in the life type of stuff. So like there were some times where like if there was like team activities and we were allowed to kind of see those or them like playing volleyball or playing cornhole or the fishing stuff, like all that type of stuff that was kind of coming out of the teams that we just repurposed was performing really well. Obviously the highlights were amazing just because people missed NBA basketball so much. But it was just, I think people just wanted to understand what it was like being there. So it was anything that gave people a peek behind the curtain was what they just went crazy over. Even if it was practice or what someone was wearing, like when they were walking around, like into practice or whatever. Like people kind of cared about that stuff more than they normally probably would.
When you all were in the bubble, there was so much going on in the world. What was that like while all this was happening outside the bubble to be in there? I saw some posts that you had. You got really good answers out of the players in these moments around things that were going on. What was that like to be in there while there was so much going on outside of that bubble?
It was hard. As a Black woman, before I went to the bubble, I was one of the people protesting. I was one of the people making sure that I felt like I was helping people that look like me that are struggling. And being in that environment, especially during COVID, it was hard because you feel this level of safety from this virus that was decimating communities. So it's like you kind of feel guilty about that. But then you also kind of feel guilty about caring about things that don't seem really important. Like if we talk about a basketball game compared to the life of Breonna Taylor, like those two things don't add up. So I did have a hard time. And I think what we're talking about, like the questions I asked, I was very forthcoming with players. Like, I'm going to ask you these things because you guys have said you want to make sure that you're using your platform to make sure that this messaging is out there and that these conversations don't die down just because the games are back. So I'm going to make sure that those questions are there, because there weren't that many people. I guess it depends on kind of what you're supposed to be covering or whatever, but it's hard if there's only like four or five Black media members, right? You don't want, it's a hard balance, because you don't want that to be your thing, right? Like, oh, I only talk about race. I can never talk about the game. But as a Black woman, I feel like it was my responsibility to have those conversations and ask people about things that I know directly impacted people that either didn't understand, people that didn't really want to even hear about it. Because there were so many people saying like, oh no, well, just stick to basketball. Like, I don't want to have to, basketball is my escape or whatever. But we're all humans. The players are predominantly Black men. So for you to ask them to ignore something that, what, no matter if they're done playing basketball, whatever, they are still a Black man first. So you want me to ignore that side of them so that you can have a more enjoyable day? Like, our days are hard. So you need to understand what that experience is like to then be able to find commonalities with people. And I think like finding, having compassion, having hard conversations, I hope those were things that all came out of this experience.
I think you did such a great job of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes back to what you said at the beginning, finding stories that come from a place of love. And, you know, it's so clear why, and why that is one of your three pillars. You know, do you think that how you covered content in the bubble, whether it was NBA or NCAA, do you think how you approached content there, is that going to change how you approach content now next season when, you know, maybe you're not in a bubble? Will you do things differently having been through these experiences?
I don't know what the setup's going to be. Obviously, it was different because a lot of stuff was via Zoom, so you didn't get to have as many like one-offs with players. Like, normally, if you're walking in the back tunnel and you just need a soundbite from somebody or to ask a quick question, you can kind of do that. But with COVID, obviously, you can't just be like walking into people. But I will say that I was really fortunate that I was empowered to be able to ask the questions that I thought were important. Mm. So I think going forward, I just feel more comfortable speaking about things that aren't necessarily on the court topics. If I feel like I would never ask a player something that I didn't feel like they were prepared for. Like, sometimes I'd give people a heads up like, hey, I'm going to ask about this in case you don't know about it, whatever. I feel way more empowered to have tough conversations with people and to help them to use their voices for the things that they're passionate about as well. Like, there was, I think Andre Iguodala's big thing was like financial empowerment, right? So being able to ask him direct questions about something that he's passionate about, then you're going to get a better answer and you're going to get more detail. And hopefully that resonates with someone else who's a fan of his.
I think that's such great advice for other reporters out there. And so that brings us to another segment that we have today that's called Write That Down. Everyone, grab those pencils, get ready, take notes, as Morgan's going to dish some just knowledge bombs on you right here. So Morgan, your best advice to anyone running social media for a brand, network, or team?
I would say my best advice would be to have we call it a North Star, right? So everything that you're creating, all your content, the brand voice, everything, it all goes back to whatever you guys have decided as a group that your brand is going to represent and is going to be trying to live up to these pillars and these ideals. Diversity is so important when it comes to running social media platforms, because there's so many different voices that are going to be consuming your content. And I know in sports specifically, we do, as a whole, use a lot of vernacular that's really more towards like pop culture or hip hop or that type of stuff. So when you have somebody who is not ingrained in that or doesn't understand it, it can sometimes feel inauthentic, and people pick up on that. Like, if we have a comment or if we caption something in a way that's like very specific to a certain culture, those people are going to respond and be like, what are you guys talking about? That's not how this is used. Like, this sounds crazy. And they're going to let you know that they think you're just trying to like be a culture vulture and pick up on a trend to like get some more likes or views. So I think diversity is super important. I think that having a frame of reference that you are leading up to is really important. And just making sure that everything is in alignment with what your team's goals are.
I Love the North Star concept. I completely agree. Look, before we let you go, it's time for open court. It's where we give you free rein to speak on any subject you want. What's most important to you? What you're most passionate about? So I'll pass you the ball. You take it. Morgan, the floor is yours.
What's most important to me right now is making sure that women and minorities have voices in decision-making positions. What we have seen is that the same formula isn't working, and our world outside of social media needs to be reflected on our social media pages. So give people voices, let people connect with different audiences, let people have real decision-making ability and power, because all it's going to do is to help your brand and to help your audience feel more connected to the content. So that's my big push. Everybody be open. Figure out the commonalities that you have in people, and don't be afraid of change, because as we've seen from like the MySpace days to now, everything is changing all the time. So just don't be afraid to go with it.
Love that. That's amazing. And to close this out, it is time for the storyteller shout out. Morgan, you've been so great today. It's been awesome to hear your story. We want to leverage your community and use storytellers to find more storytellers. So that's where the storyteller shout out comes from. We want you to call out someone you think should come onto the show and share their story. So how you're going to do that is you're going to look into the camera and you're going to say, I just got done telling my story. Now, blank, I nominate you to step onto the storyteller stage and share yours.
I just got done telling my story. So Ari, who's just been a force with WNBA content, with Highlight Her, which is doing amazing on social, so follow them. It's time for you to tell more of your story. You do a beautiful job of standing up for people and for giving inside knowledge and making sure that you are giving a platform to people that need it. So it's time to pass the torch.
Right on. That's amazing, Morgan. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
Morgan, it's been so great to chat with you. Thank you for joining us today on this live episode of Storyteller. And for everyone at home who's watching, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.